Good afternoon. I will call to order our January 9th regular meeting of the Integrated Waste Management Authority, the board meeting. So if you all rise and join Mr. Enns in leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. So I know we do have some new members joining us, but let's do a roll call, please, and that'll be a quick means of introduction.
All right. Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Sheila Blake. Charles Barbeau.
Here.
Lynn Compton.
I'm here.
Red Davis. Robert. Robert Enns.
Here.
Bruce Gibson.
Here.
Aaron Gomez.
Here.
John Hammond.
Here.
Adam Hill.
Here.
John Pashong. Keith Storton.
Here.
And Jeff Lee.
John's going to be here. He's going to be late.
So great. Perfect. Good. And I am here as well. So
it's
wonderful. Okay. So it looks like we currently do have a quorum. So it sounds like we may have a member or two who may be joining us late. And I do know we have a couple members who do have commitments throughout the course of the meeting. So we may lose a person or two along the way. So I'll leave it to our general manager and our legal counsel to make sure we continue to have a quorum. So with that, I will move into public comment. Let's just do a quick. Keith is a new member, so thank you for joining us. So, is there any other new members that are here? Great. So, Keith, I think you're our freshman member.
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Great. So, with that, I will move it into public comment. So, this is where any member of the public can speak for an item up to 3 minutes on an item that's not on today's agenda. So, if there's anyone that wants to come forward and speak, please do so at one of the lecterns. And in keeping with the Brown Act, we will not be able to take action on anything that is not on the agenda this afternoon. So. And please state your name just for the record.
Hi, I'm Debbie Peterson. Hello, Chair and Council and board members. I just wanted to ask, I am the alternate, and I've always had difficulty knowing what's going on here because it's not videotaped and it's not live like almost every other county meeting out there. So I just wanted to ask that. It looks like you got a lot of money in the bank, thankfully, and I wanted to ask if you would consider at some point soon making sure that this gets videotaped so that folks and that it can be watched live. The second thing was, and I understand that this may not always be the case, but when I went online to get the board packet to review for this meeting, it wasn't there last night. Apparently it came up this morning, but if you could just direct staff to be sure that there's always a full packet for the public. Thank you.
Great. And thank you for those comments. And before I go to the general manager for just a second, is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak? So, as our next speaker is coming forward, there seemed to be a problem with the package on Google or on a Google Docs. I was able to get it on Internet Explorer. So for those in the future, it was there. It was just in a different format. So thank you. So.
I'm going to be, do I need to identify myself?
Yes, please.
Okay, Patricia Price. I'm going to be somewhat redundant. I did not realize that this was going to be brought up before me. I wanted to ask that in the interest of transparency, that this meeting be videotaped and provided live to the public. This is not a good time for me to come in. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are working and can't attend these meetings. And I'm very interested in them. I would like to be able to watch them and do my best to come to the meetings from this point forward. But I would like the rest of the public to have that opportunity at their leisure. I would also like to suggest that this board meet monthly rather than every other month. I think that is not often enough for oversight that is needed. It's been really obvious that it hasn't been enough. There's been some problems. That might have been one of them. I also went to get the board packet, and it wasn't up. where I could find it. I wanted to speak on the forensic report. I don't think this is the time because there's going to be a report, right? And I don't know when you're going to choose the next president or chair. Is this the time to comment on that, or shall I wait? I can, okay. What I wanted to say, and this sounds unfriendly, I'm going to say it anyway. During the time that the previous administrator was here, he wasn't reporting information to the board that the board needed for proper oversight. The chair and the board allowed the behavior to go on with the ultimate result of us losing or missing a lot of money because of a credit card that seems to have been misused. There didn't seem to be oversight. There are missing receipts, and it appears that there's been a flagrant misappropriation of public funds. I would like to see that there is a forensic report done as soon as possible. I don't want a statute of limitations to occur so that we can't go after that money if we possibly can. And I would like to see the chair changed at the next change. I'm not happy with the way that the chair handled what's been going on. Thank you.
Any other members of the public coming forward? Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Heller. I'm a newly elected council member of the City of Morro Bay. I spoke with Red Davis last night, and he said he was going to meet me here, so it looks like he's running a little late. But just wanted to introduce myself. It's my first meeting, my first interaction with this agency, and I look forward to sitting in the audience and soaking up as much as I can today. So just wanted to introduce myself.
Thank you for that. Don't go too far. Okay. So, are there any other members of the public that want to speak? Seeing no one else come forward, I'll bring it back to the and ask a question of our council. Would Mr. Heller more appropriately be on this side of the dais since he is an appointed position?
I would prefer that, but that's something you're asking us to sit there until Red gets here?
May I ask if he has been appointed by his council as an alternate? Is that correct?
I have.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, then that's fine.
Okay.
So, thank you. Please join us and be seated.
Tell him to come up here.
Yep. So he's going to grab his. Great. Okay. And actually, as Mr. Heller is moving forward, so we will let the record reflect, please, that Mr. Heller has joined us. And with that, I'm going to go into the regular component of our meeting, and we'll start with our manager's report.
May I make a comment about public comment?
And actually, I was going to ask Mike to clarify the items in his manager's report with regards to the online component of the staff report. Was there another element that you wanted to?
Well, that's what I want to talk about, the online, if we have any cost or anything like that. That's what.
Okay. Perfect. And I was going to ask him to update us as part of the manager's report. So, Mike?
Thank you. I'll start off by first saying I apologize if folks can't retrieve any kind of materials. We'll make sure we get on that. And I'll also own the fact that we've had a little difficult time just getting the agenda on an ongoing basis, and that's really more my fault. Just not paying as much attention to that, and so I'll make sure that that happens. Secondly, is if you turn to page 3 of your agenda, you'll see at the bottom that there's a website you can go to because we did make a change, and we are now both doing audio and video of the meetings.
Can you watch the
meetings? Both. Staff saying both. Okay, with that, I'll just go, if there's no questions or any other issues, I'll go into the report, into my report. First part is the reserves, and there's a number of bullets here. And really, this is really kind of what I'm bringing to you. This page right here, for all of you. And really, what I kind of wanted to just identify, Board Member Hammond asked this to be on the agenda and part of my report. And so really what I want to talk to you about is there's a blue shade and a green shade. The blue shade is what you all saw back in May of 2018. And that's what you, when you did your budget presentation. So there was a $1.9 million fund balance. And then these other costs that are in here. You'll notice if you look at the green shade, all the costs are the same, except for if you go into the green shade, you see a $4.3 million and you see $1 million of restricted funds. And then then what this really should show you is the fund balance should have been $3.3 million for you to have a discussion in your budget about. So I met with the auditor. I asked them to give us a presentation. This is what they provided. And so I just bring this to your attention because the million-dollar restriction was put in place, and I can't track down where and who and how that happened, but there is a restriction with respect to capital projects. And you don't, in this budget, really don't have a lot of capital projects. This would be typical things that you would do to construct things or relocate things. Now, next year's budget, there are a couple of household hazardous waste centers that probably are going to be needing to be put in the budget and relocated, one at Heritage Ranch and one in Morro Bay. And so that would be simply some place where you would use these kind of funds. So the good news is that your reserves are very healthy, around $4.3 million. That's the good news. And it's a good problem to have, which is high reserves. So then that gives you some policy considerations at a later date. So that's really the only thing that I wanted to talk about with respect to reserves today. If anyone has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Actually, why don't we let you go through your manager's report, and we'll stop along the way if necessary. Otherwise, we'll have questions at the end.
The next section is a board directives log. It's just a log that I'm keeping to make sure that when you guys give me a directive and the board votes on it, or either if they don't, that we keep a track of that, and that if it's not a board requirement, then I'll bring it back and ask for some policy direction. So I don't really need to go through that. It's a log, unless anyone has any questions. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I have a very quick question. These are directives that are issued. You log them as issued by individual board members, but I would assume that you take direction from the board as a whole. So not having been at a couple of these meetings, were these directions issued by the board as a whole or by individual board members?
Some of them they're both. And so, but I go with respect to what the board tells me to do. Yeah. And I move forward with board direction, not individual.
Yeah, I would submit that whatever individual board members might tell you or ask you is fine, but the log, I think, should reflect the decisions of the board as a whole.
Yes, sir, I'll make that change.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then the next piece that I've been putting on here is just a budget to actual expense report, and you'll see that report. And what I'm trying to do there is just give your board a budget to actual. I did this at the last board meeting. This is something that I will have on here at all the board meetings. It's just to give you an idea of what's being spent by the authority. And so, and these are all the expenditures that we've made. So there should be no surprises. There should be no nothing held back on our end. And if you have any questions with any of these expenses, please let me know. The next item is a credit card expense report. Same thing. It's all the credit card. When we've used the credit card, and we're trying to limit the use of the credit card to those things that are appropriate to its restrictions. And so that's the same thing you'll see there. The next bullet is a contractual obligations. This is all of our leases, all of our contracts. And what we're trying to do here is show you all the contracts that we, or engagement letters or leases that we have, and then ultimately what some of their due dates are, so that you can make a decision to have us do an RFP, or we make a recommendation to do so. And I don't think the one thing that is not on here, and I apologize for, is the forensic auditor. There should be a contract or engagement letter for the forensic auditor with with Clifton Larson Allen for $75K. So it'll be revised and put on the next.
I'm getting a day ago is the most recent.
Oh, there you go. I'll just turn the power down. I don't know how to turn it off. I'm afraid to touch it. So that's what you'll see in terms of these contractual obligations. Then there's a fixed asset report. This is a work in progress. I just got into the safety deposit box yesterday from Union Bank. It took me 4 months to do so. It was a royal pain. I don't want to go any further with that in a public meeting. It was really hard to do, but we did get the pink slips and the deed of the building out of there. So that safety deposit box has been closed because it's really not appropriate for a public agency to have a safety deposit box. And then I have on here annual audit. All I'll say on the annual audit, I'll just say this on both audits, the forensic audit and the annual audit, both of them are moving forward. We are spending a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of paperwork getting them the information they need, and we've transmitted a lot of information to them, and so it's moving forward. And I think that's it for me.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Is there any questions to my right? Any questions to my left? Charles.
Yes. Thank you. On the budget to actual, on that report, I see that the balance remaining in salaries and benefits is well below 50%, which we're kind of 50% through the year. I'm assuming that might be because of the large final payment to Mr. Worrell.
That's correct.
Okay. And then I should have asked this last time, but you know, since that was such a large payment, I would like to be interested in seeing a breakdown as to what constituted that $182,000.
Yes, sir, we can do that.
If the rest of the board concurs, sure. I'd like to see that.
If there's consensus for that, any opposition?
Yeah.
Was it on that item, John, or a different?
I have a question.
Okay. So, Charles, any other questions?
Well, I thought so, but I'll defer to Mr. Hammond.
Okay. Mr. Hammond?
Mike, I can't recall. Did we actually buy our office outright?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's free and clear at this point, so there's no obligation on that. And then I always question our reserves and how much money this agency was collecting. And so it's really astonishing now we actually have $3.3 million, essentially. Is that?
You actually have $4.3 million.
Yeah, but the bottom line. But that's something I think we need to schedule for a discussion as to, you know, the tipping fees and what we collect, and if there is a reason for collecting that or not collecting that, or what we're going to do with those funds as a project to help the cities or the agencies that put into this amount. But I think that's something I think we all need to talk about in the future. We should be, I think, collecting what we need to operate, and then for any future project, then, of course, it's identified. But just to collect it is something I think we need to talk about.
So, and I have an agreement with that as well, and I'm anticipating that we'll have other discussion if there isn't agreement. But one of the things that the executive committee is, having seen this, is either as part of our goal-setting process, as part of our strategic plan process,
perfect,
part of our budgeting process, that needs to be looked at as part of all three of those global efforts.
That'll be fine, too. Thanks.
Okay. So,
Sorry, I didn't remember my other question. We have as a separate item 14 to address an update on the forensic audit, but in regards to the regular annual audit, when might we see that? Because for most agencies, now is the season when we typically see our FY 17-18 audits, and I realize in this case there's probably a lot of additional information to be provided to them, but what do you anticipate when we might see the regular annual audit?
You know, I don't have a timeline for that. I can tell you that we've been, what we've had a little bit of coordinating issues with are when the forensic audit is there, auditor's there, they don't want the annual auditor there, and vice versa. So we've had some coordinating issues, and we frankly got a late start. So I don't know that answer. I can bring that back and shoot an email off to you all and let you know that if you like.
And as I recall, we did put a pause on the annual audit, and then the board in November said to continue moving forward with it. So there was a delay in starting that. So any other questions to my right or my left? Otherwise, I'll open it to the public, see if anyone has any comments on the manager's report. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll move it onto our consent calendar. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 items on the consent calendar. Is there any anybody that needs to pull any items or ask any questions? Otherwise, I will open it up to the public, see if any member of the public has any questions or comments on the consent calendar. Again, seeing no one come forward, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Roll call, please.
Right. Was that Member Hammond that made the motion?
Okay. Yeah.
Hill.
Hammond and Hill.
Thank you. All righty. John Hammond.
Aye.
Adam Hill.
Yes.
Debbie Arnold.
Yes.
Sheila Blake.
Yes.
Charles Borbeau.
Yes.
Lynn Compton.
Yes, but I have to recuse on the December 5th minutes because I was not at that meeting.
Thank you. Jeff Heller.
Should I abstain on this or?
Yes.
Robert Enns.
Yes.
Bruce Gibson.
Yes.
Aaron Gomez.
Yes.
Keith Storton.
Abstain.
And Jeff Lee.
And yes, and I will abstain on the November 14th minutes. So.
Thank you.
And Sheila was close. Yep, so motion carries?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Motion carries. We will move on to item number 10, which is our action, the start of our action items, which is our household hazardous waste lease agreements. Mr. Minery, is this you? Or is this Mr. John?
I'll introduce it and then Council will step in. I just this is a cleanup item. So much more than that. It's just we've had lease agreements on our 6 household hazardous waste centers. We're out of compliance with that, given the fact that we don't have a lease. So it expired several years ago. So this is just simply a cleanup item.
Okay. Chairman Lee, members of the board, you'll see along with this, I've included a conflict waiver because I also represent Heritage Ranch Community Services District. This is really just an affirmation of an existing agreement that you've been operating under that has expired. I don't see any conflict, but I'm required to notify you of any time I'm representing two agencies in any regard. So if you have any questions on that, I'm glad to answer. I put in my letter, of course, that I don't feel that it creates any actual conflict in this circumstance. You're just affirming the existence of a lease. And the second point that I have to make is that today, right before this meeting, I did get an email from Scott Duffield, who's the general manager of Heritage Ranch, and he's identified some sort of an amendment that we did not have in our file and I had not seen. So what I think is appropriate action, there may be other things out there in regards to these leases. So if your board is inclined to follow staff recommendation in regards to these 6 household hazardous waste agreements, I would also request that you consider granting authority to your manager to make non-substantive changes if we need to just change an agreement here or there to actually reflect actual circumstances as they may be different from agency to agency. And I'm able to answer any questions if you have them.
So without any questions to my left, Charles.
Yes. When you say non-substantive changes, you mean ones that are identified in any documents that you may not currently have available in front of you?
Yes. I mean, not anything that would change. So what happened is that these leases all expired around 2002.
Right.
And so, but everybody's been acting and operating as if they were extended for another 10 years. So we're affirming that, affirming the extensions of time. But to the extent that there was a different extension or maybe one has an option was exercised or not, that we can do it. We're not going to change any of the terms of the agreement without bringing it to your board.
I understand. It was just, yes, just based on any additional extensions, modifications that had previously been approved that you're not aware
of. It would probably be a recital saying,
okay,
whereas this happened along the way.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes.
One question. Was the extension of the lease term good for a 1 10-year period, or was it a continuous 10-year period? or every 10 years they can be renewed?
No, it's a single 10-year extension. So all of these will be brought back to your board in some way or another in the next few years.
Okay, so I think we're a year away from the next one. So at some point, something's going to happen here pretty
soon.
Yeah,
in a year, 18 months. They stagger a little bit, but we felt it was in discussions with your manager that why don't we just affirm what is currently in existence and then bring it back because your board may have different ideas or different thoughts at the time. So,
okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? John?
Yeah. Jeff, I was just going to mention, I know that PASO, seems like we're different years that these are coming off. They're not all consistent through all the different agencies, apparently.
You're right. They're yeah. basically between 2001 and 2002, and we don't have any record of any actual formal exercise of the option for any of them.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. Please come forward, state your name.
Good afternoon, Chairman Lee and members. Interlocking conflicts of interest repeatedly, over and over. Interlocking conflicts of interest in your legal counsel's representation of you, the board, and this agency and any other agency is no longer collaboration. It edges into corruption. Corruption that this agency has had a significant problem with historically, as will be borne out. That's my comment. I suggest that you need to consider that in contracting and future processes. And if there is a conflict of interest, I suggest that to protect Mr. Menery and his extensive firm that represents so many agencies in interlocking conflicts of interest, this agency needs to get outside counsel, at least on that item. Thank you.
Anyone else desiring to speak on this item? Seeing no one come forward, I will return it back to the board for motion discussion, or discussion and motion. Yes, sir.
Move item 10.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second, but we have a discussion.
I would suggest the motion be modified to grant authority to the manager to make non-substantive changes on an agreement-by-agreement basis if necessary.
So moved.
Agreed.
Yeah. Motion. The motion maker and the second agree. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
John Hammond.
Aye.
Bruce Gibson.
Yes.
Debbie Arnold?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Werbo?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Jeff Heller?
Abstain.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes.
Adam Hill?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Jeff Lee?
Yes. Motion carries. So that will take us to item 11, and as we wait for my computer to re-engage itself, I'll go back to the top and introduce item number 11, which is a lease on the 2015 Isuzu compressed natural gas retail pickup truck. Turn over to Mr. John Cola.
Thank you. Once again, it's just real simple. This is just a cleanup item. The lease has expired, and we're just trying to get it extended, and that's all this is.
Very good. So with that, any questions to my right, to my left?
Yes, I'm curious. In the recitals, it says neither the lessee nor the lessor can find an executed copy of the lease. We do have the terms of the lease, though, correct? We just don't have a signed copy, and so we're both agreeing to proceed. Got it. All right, thank you.
And with that in mind, we've proceeded as if the lease was in effect. Again, this is a cleanup item for signature and just confirmation.
Yes, we're trying to do. It's similar to the hazardous waste agreements. Mr. Giancola is discovering things that have expired that parties have continued to operate under. So we're just cleaning it up by affirming the terms on both ends.
And Mr. Lee, I was going to ask also, so then this agreement will expire this coming November then, is that correct? Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, so beginning in 2008, the board passed the ordinances that required the retailers to collect these items that are listed, correct? Back in 2008.
That's my understanding.
10 years or more than that ago. And then we hired the contractor to collect the things that we were, by ordinance, mandating the retailers to hold on to. And it talks about the this paperwork that, beyond the ordinance, I imagine those are still, we have those, but otherwise the contractors, we don't have any leases or any paperwork that shows what this is all supposed to be about. In other words, we've been operating for 10 years. I'm just looking for clarification with a contractor without any paperwork that goes along with it. Is that what this is telling us, this item?
Yes, ma'am.
So how do we even know the work's being done? I mean, what is there any oversight, any enforcement, anything? It's just worrisome that we placed an ordinance on our retailers in this county, countywide, right? On all these different kinds of items. So looking at batteries, lights, paint, all those things, how many stores must we be supposed to be enforcing? But how are we, even if we go ahead and just say, okay, well, we didn't have any real leases or contracts, but we're going to, in the spirit of the ordinance, we're going to try to regroup and do this, what is our oversight on this? How do we know where these items are going? And
yes, thank you. Good question. I think there's two pieces of this. One is just the lease, the signature on the lease itself. It's just isn't in the file. The program has been operating, and we've been performing and doing the program. So there's been no gap there.
Okay.
So, lease meaning lease for the truck?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's not contract as in this contract for the overall services.
Okay.
It's just the truck itself.
Right.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions? So then let the record show that Mr. Pershawn has joined us as well, so I believe we are a full board. Great. So thank you. So seeing no other questions, I'll open this item up to the public, see if any member of the public wants to come forward and speak on this item. Seeing no one moving forward, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion and possible motion.
Move staff's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call, or can this be a voice vote?
The voice vote is fine.
Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
It's a lease for a truck.
So this moves us into item number 12, our executive committee bylaws. Mr. Giancola.
Thank you. In looking at a number of governance items, I came across the executive committee. I'd looked and asked if there were any bylaws. I went way back and I found an item in 1995 that mentions the bylaws, but no actual vote ever having the bylaws. And so bringing this item for your consideration, because we do have a standing executive committee. It helps a lot and is definitely needed, and it's part of the JPA, so that's hence I brought forward the bylaws for an actual formal vote.
Very good. And so just for clarification, with that as the context, the draft functioning bylaws are attached. The executive committee did review these, did make some minor wordsmithing changes. Again, I would say, Council, correct me if I'm wrong, non-substantive changes for consideration at today's meeting. And with that, I'll open it up to questions to my left, questions to my right. So any members of the public want to speak on this item? Bring it back for discussion and motion.
Move staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Gibson, second by Hammond. All those in, we okay with a voice vote on this one as well? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That takes us to item number 13, which is an approval of policies and procedures, review, discuss, and approve three new policies and procedures. Mr. John Cola.
Thank you. At our last board meeting, I talked about these upcoming. I just didn't have them ready at the last board meeting. There are three of them. One's the annual auditor selection. We'll talk about that first, policy F9. Basically, we always have to do an annual audit. They generally focus on are the financials fairly stated. One thing on here that I want to change and add into the scope going forward as a policy is to have a more robust auditing function, so your board will be assured of a little bit more diving down. And the way you do that is you do a procedures, kind of a procedures comparison. And so it'll cost a little bit more money, but I believe these annual audits are going to cost a little bit more money going forward anyway, because I believe them to be more, they're going to be more robust. So it's simply to give your board that level of protection that I think that, at least in my recommendation, you would want. And the F10 is staff compensation classification, simply trying to write the classification to make it a little bit more consistent with classifications that are currently in county government that are fairly similar and close. We've since had a retirement, so we used to have a board secretary, so we're going to take a look at those duties. You typically would, some of you know this, you do a classification study, you look at it, so you have to, it's not going to be that involved because it's one classification, one position, and then you right size that position with its duties and compensation comparable to what's already kind of out in the public domain and public sector. The third one is an assuming manager transition signing procedure. This is really important. When I came on, you need to, especially with the new manager, there has to be some paperwork that shows that I'm leaving office and I'm leaving all of these things. I'm leaving the computers, I'm leaving the cameras, I'm leaving if there were equipment, whatever. The funds, you talk about the funds, where they're located, so on and so forth. And then the assuming manager takes that on also and signs off. So you have this kind of chain of custody. Even the simple things like keys and combinations and passwords and so forth. So that when I leave, I'm not able to hack in and steal a bunch of that reserve money you have. So anyway, that's the reason for the third policy. I throw a little levity there. It's getting a little tight this afternoon, I think.
With that, thank you for that staff report. Any questions to my right? Yes, sir. Mr. Storton.
Just a minor clarification. Just a little fix. On 1.0 purpose on page 53 for F9, it just says annual audits are required to ensure that financial, the statements produced. I think it's just the sentence just needs to be fixed. I think it should say annual audits are required to ensure that the financial statements produced the IMA. Fix that. And then the other question I had, and maybe it's just I'm naive to the term enhanced testing, is that a specific term used for auditing purposes? I wasn't sure what that meant, and if that wording has a specific meaning as to what the expectations are under 2.0 under policy details.
No, it's not an auditing technical term. I think it's a procedural. Oh shoot, I'm so sorry. The enhanced testing is you take your existing policies and procedures you have in place and you test against them. That's what you do. There's a technical auditing term for that. It slips my mind, I apologize. But that's what you're basically doing. You're doing your kind of 30,000 foot level with the financials, but then you're diving down and you're pulling stuff and you're looking. And so it's not a forensic audit because that's very detailed. But it's kind of the next best thing.
Thank you.
I have a question also. On the same page where it's the policy scope, I guess it's a simplistic question, but it shall be the policy to ensure compliance with annual. How do we ensure compliance?
You ensure compliance. The really the When you say ensure compliance, well, the report will come out, and the report would be provided to your board, and it, in my mind, should be posted on the website. But that's the compliance report. It's ultimately the manager's responsibility to ensure compliance.
Thank you.
Any other questions to my left? So actually one question for, and I apologize for not asking this question in case you're not not prepared for this, but for the manager, is this a Form 700 FPPC position? It is, correct? Okay, great. So I don't know if we need to add that language in here somewhere or if that's just a understanding of the job description.
It's already been identified, and I actually I've actually filled the form out.
Okay.
And also, Patty Toos from my office is also 700.
Okay. Very good.
700 form.
Okay.
Required.
Right. Thank you. Any members of the public want to speak on this item? Come forward. Seeing no one move forward, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion and motion.
Move staff's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. There was no clear. We can do this by a voice vote, so all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, which moves us to a slow computer once again. Now that takes us to item number 14, our forensic audit. Mr. John Cola.
Thank you. I have the table in the package, and it's pretty high level, and that's pretty much my report. I don't have a lot more to say about it right now. We've provided them a massive amount of information, and their staff has been at our site for a couple of intense days, and so they're in the digesting phase. They're taking the information. They're starting to look at it, and there will be more more requests for information, I'm sure, and then ultimately, you know, we'll get to if you go down into the March 13th, that's really when I think they're going to be better prepared to make a proposed report to your board.
Okay, so we'll look forward to seeing a in-person report on the 13th.
That would be my expectation.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions to my right? So, Supervisor Compton.
So, I missed a meeting, and maybe you discussed it at that meeting, but the meeting prior to that, you had indicated you had a difficult time accessing certain accounts and things like that because they were under previous managers' names. Are you able now to get into 100% of the accounts and provide anything from those to the auditor?
I'm not sure that's 100%. We're real close, though.
Okay.
Little by little, we've whittled it away.
I didn't hear the last comment.
Little by little, whittled it away. I just would not want to tell you it's 100%, but I'm pretty confident we're in all the accounts that we need to be.
Thank you.
Mr. Renz?
There was an earlier public comment about the getting this done as soon as possible, and Mike, you just mentioned the date at the bottom of the page, March 13th, so I just want to make sure the public member was aware.
Very good. Any questions to my left? Any member of the public want to speak on this item? Seeing no one come forward, we'll bring it back, and this is a receive and file, correct?
Correct.
Then very good. We will move on to our item number 15, which is member comments and future agenda items. Does anyone have any comments to my right? Supervisor Arnold.
So Mike, I was just looking at the bylaws that we passed tell us that We have a term of office now for our officers, and that they serve for a term of 1 year unless they're reelected, so they can be reelected. But does that mean that right about now, or when do we redo our officers? I mean, should we do it next time? They've been here
probably,
a year.
Probably the March meeting.
Okay. I'm just saying. Maybe we want to
appreciate the reminder. Thank you.
Now that we have bylaws. That, yeah.
Mr. Hammond?
Yeah, Jeff, I was going to say, you know, I said earlier about the amount of money that this agency now has that we have found, so to speak, but I would definitely task the executive committee again to bring that up and discuss how those monies could be used more efficiently. if not projects back in the various agencies where they came from or something like that, and maybe even look at our tipping fees or what we have, that we how we collect, and really what we need to operate from. Unless we don't have, again, any specific project that we're trying to do, then I think we need to keep the cost down as much as possible. But that's something, again, the executive committee might want to do and bring back to the whole board.
Any questions? So one of the, with that in mind, so we were having a conversation about that very item and kind of moving towards the potential for a strategic plan, which then says, okay, do we return the tipping fees? Do we create our own recycling program for to replace the one that the state is not supporting anymore locally? Do we do? We've had a lot of the buyback centers that have been that have gone out of business because of what the state's done. So I think it's a global discussion from that perspective. So it definitely will be at the executive committee level and then at the board level in general.
I was going to say, once we get our new manager on board, he may have ideas and ideas to talk about. That's be important to be able to do. And speaking of that, do we have a report on how that interim's coming?
Going to be our next item.
Yeah.
So great. So with that in mind as well, one second, Aaron, is that we do have some outstanding items that were potentially programmed to come before the board before we started this journey down towards a new general manager, one of which was polystyrene. And so we were fully aware that we have those items that do need to come back into the cycle once the bandwidth is and a permanent general manager is on board. So with that, Mr. Gomez.
Yeah, I wanted just to kind of bring up the topic of whether or not we need to shift this to having monthly meetings, given where everything's going. I feel like our kind of hands are tied, only meeting every other month. So obviously it's up to the board whether or not we want to shift that, whether we need to agendize that to have a more robust conversation around fiscal impacts and everything else that entails.
So with that, we've got effectively three items, one of which is probably is bylaw driven, which is terms of officers. We'll have staff check that, and if there's no set time frame with consensus, we'll put that on the March meeting agenda. And then the other two items, which are more again policy for the organization. So what's the pleasure of the board? Do we want to do that before the new manager, with the new manager, or prior to the new manager?
New manager.
Are you referring to having a discussion about monthly meetings, or what are you?
Either monthly meetings as well as, we'll call it strategic goals and a work program for the organization.
My thought is, just, I mean, I can understand during this time frame, perhaps the need for more meetings only because of the volume of what's happened, but, you know, not on an ongoing basis. So I just think that if there's a need for a special meeting, if you will, in between these regular meetings, then it would behoove us or the general manager to ask us to have such a meeting.
Okay. So, Mr. McCall.
First off, on the meetings, I mean, we have executive committee. They meet in between. They make decisions. This board has given them, you know, the power to be able to do that. I think that it is something that the new manager coming on board should make the decision on that, because there's going to be a lot of those decisions that you know, we put in place now that they may not agree with. So I would actually argue that the best thing to do is wait until we have that new manager on board.
Chairman Lee, I just want to remind the board that we're not having a discussion right now as to whether or not to have monthly meetings, or just deciding whether or not to bring it back as a discussion item for the board.
Good clarification. So I'm hearing kind of consensus to bring it back after the manager, new manager is on board. Any further thoughts on that topic? If not, we will move into item number 16, which is our closed session. So with that, we will remain here, but ask those members in the audience first to see if there's anyone who has any public comments on closed session. Seeing no one come forward, we will ask you to leave the room. So, and then we will call you back when our closed session is complete.
Can I read the plug? Okay.
Yes. I will go ahead and say pursuant to
Government Code 54957B1, the board will adjourn to closed session to discuss public employment, the appointment of a IWMA manager.
May I make a comment to the chair? I have to leave. I have a Cuyama Water District meeting, so I'm sorry to go, but like 5 minutes. It's probably going to go about 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, I won't make it there in time.
With that, I'll call the meeting back into open session and announce that we did have a closed session regarding public employment discussion appointment of IWMA manager, and there was no reportable action. So unless there's any other further business before the board, we are adjourned.